Just days out from hosting the NRL Grand Final, Brisbane is on edge. Four new local cases of COVID were announced yesterday, with more exposure sites likely to be added to the watch list today. The Queensland Chief Health Officer, Jeanette Young, has held off ordering a lockdown, but that could change if more cases are detected today. Nigel McMillan is Program Director of Infectious Diseases at Griffith University. Nigel, welcome to breakfast.
Morning, Fran.
Queensland has a record, a pretty successful record, of controlling outbreaks of COVID with quick lockdowns, maybe even three-day lockdowns, five-day lockdowns. Is the state government hoping that other measures will be enough to do the trick this time?
Yeah, look, I think so. We've certainly, I keep using the term dodged a bullet in our state. We've been doing it for a long, long time. And the last two outbreaks we've had basically around schools have been successfully controlled by quick action. But that always hasn't been the case. If you look at Victoria and New Zealand, they, you know, weren't perhaps quite quick enough, but they certainly were quick. And they are in the current states they are now. So, look, the numbers will tell us today and tomorrow as to what we're going to do, the extent of the cases and physically where they might be as to the next steps, I guess.
Yeah, the Chief Health Officer was pretty clear. If it's required, she'll lock down the state without really a thought to the NRL Grand Final, it seemed. What kind of case numbers do you think would trigger a lockdown, Nigel?
I think when we're looking at something more than six from yesterday, and if it's more geographically distributed, then they'll be exactly the sort of thing that will lock it down. And it's interesting because the language is more around a more sort of New South Wales style LGA type lockdown. So she's talking about, you know, Brisbane and Moreton Bay at the moment, where the two cities that have those cases, rather than the entire southeast Queensland and all 11. But look, if the numbers, you know, are 10 today and 20 tomorrow, obviously things will lock down.
Yeah, okay. Epidemiologist Professor Mary Louise McClaws says the NRL Grand Final, set to go this weekend, could potentially be a super spreading event for Queensland. So even if there's not a huge number of cases located today and tomorrow, is there a danger in holding an event? I think they've got 50,000 tickets already sold to the Grand Final.
Yeah, it's sold out apparently. They've got them all packed in there. Look, we see this sort of, you know, super spreader type talk in every large event like this for protests, for, you know, games of this nature. And we don't seem to actually have it occur at the moment.
Well, I mean, it did occur. I mean, COVID did spread in Victoria at the start of this outbreak at a couple of games, didn't it?
That is true. So it's really going to be those numbers and, of course, the amount of virus that's circulating in the community we don't know about. And so that's why the numbers are going to tell you. But look, I think, you know, the Chief Health Officer will make the game without crowds if she feels that's the right action. I don't think that particularly is it's not that it's not a concern. It's just that the lockdown will be more important for the state than the NRL Grand Final crowd.
Yeah, I think she's making that pretty clear. Health authorities are still trying to pinpoint the source of this latest outbreak in Queensland, but causing most concern appears to be an unvaccinated truck driver who was infectious in the community for 8 days, unknowingly. Why do we know any more about this? Why it took so long for this man to test and isolate? Was he showing symptoms? What was the situation?
Yeah, look, it's another case, and I think we've had seven of them in the last sort of 6 weeks or so, of a truck driver coming through from New South Wales who's tested positive. Now, look, the rules are pretty clear in that the truck drivers are meant to come in and deliver their load with minimal interaction and then leave again. And there's certainly been a couple of cases now where those rules certainly don't seem to be adhered to. Now, there may be perfectly good logistical reasons why this occurred. We don't really know the details enough yet, but this man certainly was in the city, staying in a couple of different hotels for 8 days, although he doesn't seem to have been out and about in too many places. And so, look, this is a concern because of the length of time. And, of course, you know, not vaccinated as I understand it. So we need rules, and I guess this is why the Premier's a little grumpy about this and has started thinking about or will mandate vaccinations for truck drivers coming into Queensland.
Yeah, that is a plan now, isn't it, to mandate vaccines for truck drivers?
Yeah, so first doses in October and second dose by November sometime, with at least the second dose done or an appointment booked is going to be the rule.
But yeah, I'm not entirely sure, but I think some other states have already done that, haven't they?
Yes, so I think that's the rule for other states. But look, I think we've got this difficult situation in Queensland coming up where, you know, when we're thinking about opening our borders and thinking about transitioning, you know, from when we get to 70 and 80%, it's going to be difficult for all the other states where we have so few cases.
The Tweed and Byron local government areas have returned to the Queensland New South Wales border bubble overnight, which means residents of those areas can travel into Queensland for essential purposes. Is this safe, given we could see rising case numbers in Brisbane, and also there's another scare now, I think, in the Byron Shire anyway?
Yeah, it's just going to be a bit of a yo-yoing effect, isn't it, with these cases popping through?
It's tough, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really hard on those communities. You know, all those border communities, we see the same thing with the Victoria-New South Wales border, where there's a lot of cross-border traffic. There's a large population on each side of that border. There's no good answer. There's a risk, of course, to spreading it around. And the Queensland government, you know, has got a pretty good mandate from the public to keep things as safe and as low as possible. But, of course, as I said, we're going to have to transition out of this, and it's going to be a bit messy, I think, come December, January next year in terms of this change.
Two new COVID cases identified overnight in the Byron Shire. That's what I was referring to. What about vaccinations? Queensland's a bit behind, certainly behind New South Wales, even behind Victoria. It's on target to reach 80% double vax by November. Are you confident that people from New South Wales and Victoria will be allowed into Queensland by Christmas? The Premier seemed to be pulling a shade of doubt over this earlier in the week.
Yeah, there certainly is the shade of doubt from the Premier, and I think that they're really waiting on some clarity, I guess, from National Cabinet around this. But I think every other state except New South Wales and Victoria, we're all sitting at about somewhere between 45 and 50% double vax. So all those states are behind. And, of course, the situation is for all those states is that at the moment they're relatively free. There's no lockdowns really, and everything is downhill from there if you open the border up in terms of cases. Whereas for New South Wales and Victoria, everything's looking bright when you open up further. So that's why I refer to this as being a rather messy situation. So, look, I think it'll be a sort of a gradual opening in terms of the border. When you get to 70%, there'll be more people allowed through. But we're all going to have to go through a wave of infection that will come through each of these states, and it's going to be about controlling the size of that wave and the height of the crest so that our hospital systems don't get overwhelmed, particularly in regional areas.
Yeah, nerves are still time for the leaders too. Nigel, thank you very much for joining us.
No worries. Thanks, Fran.
Nigel McMillian is Program Director of Infectious Diseases at Griffith University.